put on. If you want to have a successful, sanctified life, learn to put off so that you can put on. All right? The Bible says, put off the old man with his deeds and put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him. Now, I know your thing was Psalm 126 about the Lord doing great things, but I want to show you something from the Bible. This is what God gave me to bring tonight in the book of Colossians. And God has done great things. In 30 years, you guys have seen some remarkable growth. You've seen people come, you've seen people go. But nevertheless, you are still here. And by the grace of God, if you remain faithful, God says, I am a rewarder of them that diligently seek me. God says, I will reward you if you remain faithful, but learn to be assassinators of those very things that would want to bring you down. We are told to mortify our members. When we mortify our members, we glorify our master. I believe that. When we mortify our members, we glorify the master. And so we're going to talk about three things rather quick. How can this be done? Well, I'm glad you asked. How can I mortify these members? First of all, we need to euthanize the old man. There you go. Euthanize the old man. Pastor, how can I euthanize the old man? Three ways. By sedation, by starvation, and by mutilation. I had to look at that word, make sure I had it right. You got to tear them up. You've got to tear the old man up. Look, you have to put them under sedation. You know what sedation means? The sedation is an administering of a drug to produce a state of calm. What's the best thing that can calm the old man? The word of God. This is the, look, this is not FDA approved. This is Holy Ghost approved. It's sanctioned. You've got 66 books. Anywhere you read it, you can sedate the old man. And that's the problem. The one that we feed the most is the one that takes over. So we need to sedate him. Put him out. Euthanize the old man. You know, when you think about the word euthanize, you think about when people put people to death and they do it in a humane way. But this way, when you euthanize a person, you do it in a way that's reasonable. But the old man, don't you be kind. Put him out. Take him out every time. Sedate him. Starve him. Second one is starvation. Suffering by death or caused by hunger. We need to starve them. Whatever we are reading or looking at that's feeding the old man, we need to starve it. Can I get a witness? A lot of times, God's people, we say that we talk out of one side of our mouth. We say something else. The Bible says in the book of James, we bless God therewith, and then we curse man at the same time. Starve the old man. You see, there's a lot of stuff going on in this world. Back when we were coming up, they had what they call Cinemax and HBO. Now that's child's play. They're going to another level. And it's all appealing to the old man. Amen. It appeals to the flesh. Can I get a witness? Amen. Let me tell you something. You better watch. Better watch them. Euthanize them. Mortify the deeds in this body. I was telling my church this morning about, and this is a true story. It's kind of comical. And now that I think about it, I went to see one of my members in the rehab facility. A couple of weeks ago, and I had on a pair of shorts, and I had the T-shirt on, and just like I was running, had my sneakers on, and so I just stopped by to see her how she was doing, and when I was leaving her room, I went to the elevator to go down. There was a lady standing at the elevator, and she was much older than me, but she was one of the employees. So she pushed the button, and I stood beside her, and this is what she said, and I kid you not. She said, you got some pretty legs. So I looked at her and I said, well, thank you, ma'am. God bless you. I'm trying to keep it on the real, trying to keep it spiritual. She said, ladies will fight you behind those legs. She kept on going. So we walked in the elevator and I said, Lord, I said, well, my mama said I had pretty legs. I'm trying to change the subject. She said, yeah. And when the door closed, she said, yeah, this elevator got stuck a while ago. And I got stuck on it. I said, Lord, let me get off this thing, because this lady I know where she going. She said, yeah, they will fight you behind them legs. And I just looked straight. And I didn't realize that she was hitting on me until I called my wife. I said, baby, what you think? She said, what I think? You know she was trying to hit on you. Are you that green? I said, I didn't catch it. This is what made me catch it. When she got off the elevator and walked to the station, the ladies asked her, Miss So-and-so, are you flirting again? I said, this lady got me. I was so glad to get off that elevator. You know what? That's the flesh. Average pastor would have slipped his card and said, call me later. Huh? Okay. You see, a lot of these pastors, they're players. They're players. They care less about your soul, the word of God, anything else. It's just all about the flesh. Paul said, mortify. Kill it. Euthanize it. Then we need to kill it by mutation. Cut off limbs. If your eye offend thee, what does the Bible say? Pluck it out. If your hand offend thee, cut it off. If we did that physically, it'd be some one-eyed, one-arm Christian walking around here right now in Jesus' name. All of us need to euthanize the old man. And then secondly, we need to not only euthanize the old man, we need to eulogize the new man. Now, the word eulogize, it means to praise highly in speech or writing. When a person does a eulogy, that's what it's supposed to be. You're supposed to talk about that person of acclamation and praise. But it's not always that way, because some people don't die worthy of talking anything good about. If you were a rascal in life, you were going to be a rascal when you die. The Bible says, he that is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is just, let him be just still. You take a man that beat his wife all his life, ran on his wife and did this, and you want to preach a sensible eulogy at his death, it won't happen, because his life spoke for him. But we need to eulogize the new man, praise the new man. How? Speak on the test that you're going through. Speak on it, because all of us, we go through things. So speak on it and a highly praise. I don't know, Lord, why I'm going through this test, but I believe that God has the power to deliver me and bring me through. We talked about Joseph this morning. Joseph, brothers, we talked about a message entitled Secondhand Hatred. Joseph's brothers hated him so much, the Bible says when they saw him from afar, they hated him. They hated the coat of many colors. They didn't want anything to do with him. And when they got the opportunity, they stripped the coat. The first thing they took from him was what? His coat. The world wants to strip you of your identity. If they can strip you of your identity, you become nothing. So they took his coat and he went through a test. The pit Joseph was thrown into, the Bible says there was no water in it. So the pit was also not only a place for him to lie, but it was a place of purpose. You see, sometimes your haters, those that hate you, that put you through the test, sometimes God will use your haters to put you into a place where your dreams will come true. They had no idea that when they threw Joseph in the pit because of his dreams that he told his brothers, and they got angry. They said, well, we're going to fix your dream. Here comes the dreamer. So they threw him into a pit thinking they're going to destroy him. But in all actuality, they propelled him, or they catapult him into his dream coming true. So if you learn to eulogize, learn to eulogize your tests, speak highly of it, because you're going to come through. Secondly, you need to speak on the testimony that you're going to gain from the test. You will have a testimony. Can I get a witness? God is going to give you a testimony because what you go through. Now, if you're going to go through the test belly aching, complaining, then you know what? You're going to miss what God has for you. But you take your time and let God be God in your life. And then you speak on the truth that the Lord deserves all the praise. No matter how I come through this, God is to be praised. Amen. Romans 8:28 says this, for all things work together for good. Don't it say that? All right. That them that love God, them who are called according to his purpose. So when you go through, speak on the truth that whatever I do and however I come out of this, God still loves me. And he's not going to allow you to go through anything that he cannot. Let me tell you, God will put you in the trial so that he can pull you out of the trial. That's the kind of God we serve. But speak on it. Eulogize the new man. And then lastly, but not least, we have the euthanizing of the old man. Eulogize the new man. And then there's a euphoria. A euphoria of things yet to come. Man, I am excited. You know what euphoria is, Brother Curtis? Euphoria is a feeling of excitement and happiness. Let me tell you something. This world is not our home. Did y'all know that? The song said, we're just passing through. Our treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Then it says, the angels beckon me from heaven's open doors, and I can't feel at home in this here world. It don't say that. I'm just adding that part. In this chill world anymore. Man, I'll tell you what, that's our euphoria. Look what it says in Colossians chapter 3, and look at verse number 1 through 4. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ does what? Sitteth on the right hand of God. I want to say this right quick before we get out of here. I believe every time, if you remember in the book of Acts, when Stephen was being stoned, you remember that story? And the Bible says they gnashed on him with their teeth. And as they threw the stones, the Bible says that Stephen looked up and he said a few things. He said, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. I don't know too many of us would say that in the midst of being stoned. He said, Lord, if you just let me get my nine, let me get my hand on my nine, I can take two or three of them out. That's how we would think. But Stephen said, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge, all right? And as he was being stoned, the Bible says that he looked up to heaven. And what did he see when he looked up to heaven? The Bible says he saw Jesus, how? Standing on the right hand of God. Here it says he's seated on the right hand of God. I believe that if I'm wrong, then I stand to be corrected. But I believe that every child of God, at the moment of death, when you depart from this place, God gives you a personal standing ovation and to welcome you into heaven. And when you see Jesus, he won't be seated. He'll be standing welcoming us to heaven. Ain't that a good God? Listen to me. That's a euphoria. That makes me excited because I understand one thing, that I belong to him. And this is not my home. So stop living like you're going to stay here. So this euphoria, I'm so glad that we have a doctrinally sound church. You've got a doctrinally sound church. Aren't you glad about that? You could be caught up in all kind of isms and schisms, but God has blessed you to be in a good Bible-believing, doctrinally sound church. You don't get much of that. Don't take this for granted. Doesn't happen often. Number two, we are not only doctrinally sound, we're heaven bound. Heaven bound. Man, I tell you what, I ain't trying to go out here and get killed any kind of way, but if I do, I've got a home in heaven. Amen? And that's my euphoria. And not only are we heaven bound, but one day we shall wear a crown. That's you can put that down on a like he sung the little song, I'm heaven bound, doctrinally sound, I'm going to wear a crown, man. I'm so glad that there are some crowns in heaven that all of us can get. Listen to me, there is the crown of life. The Bible talks about that in James chapter 1 and verse 12. That crown is given to those who persevere under trials and tests. You're going to receive the crown of life. Number two, there's the incorruptible crown. That crown is for those who have learned the art of self-denial. You deny yourself. That crown is waiting on you. There's another crown called the crown of righteousness. This crown is for all of us who love Christ at his coming. Everybody should get double, right? Amen. If you don't get anything else, you ought to get the crown of righteousness. There's also the crown of glory. This crown is exclusive. It's for pastors only. Only the pastors can get this crown. This is the shepherd's crown. Amen. So your pastor will have one. I will have one. All of those pastors who are true pastors. You'll get the crown of glory, and then there's the crown of rejoicing. This is for all of those who believe in the soul winning, have a heart for soul winning. You're going to receive that crown. You ought to get at least one crown. There's no crown of glutton. There's no crown of hate. There's no crown of malice. There's no crown of discord. None of those things are in heaven. This is why he tells us to put aside these things like anger and malice and blasphemy. Put these things away. There's no crown for those. That's under the flesh. But this euphoria we're talking about tonight, God says that with excitement, look what it says in verse 2, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Look at verse 4, when Christ, not if Christ, not if Christ, but when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him where? In glory. Let me tell you something. When Peter, James, and John was on the Mount of Transfiguration and they watched this thing unfold right before their very eyes and they saw Jesus, they saw Moses and Elijah, and the Bible says he was in his glory. So what they saw, so Peter got excited. He says, Lord, it's good for us to be here. Let us build three tabernacles. Let's do it right. One for you, Jesus. Got to have you first. One for Moses and one for Elijah. He was excited, and the Bible says he did not know what to say. So in our excitement, we can sometimes say things that we don't understand. So the Lord says, this is my beloved son. Hear ye him. Jesus was in the midst of talking to Moses and Elijah. Moses represents the law. Elijah represents the prophets. So here we have Jesus Christ in the middle of the law and the prophets discussing his death on the cross. Let me tell you something. Everything that Jesus did, it was not accidental. He did not break the law. He fulfilled the law. And they saw him in his glory for a moment. But that's on the mountaintop. He said, now we got to go back down to the valley. Let me tell you something. We all of us, even at our best, we have room for improvement. One of the worst nations to live in is procrastination. We put off living for the Lord. We put off killing the flesh. We put off making right decisions. The worst nation you can ever be a part of is procrastination. Don't put it off. God has given you the strength to do it right now. Love the Lord. Love one another. Treat each other right. And I guarantee you, you have a victory. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Father.